Blog Talk Radio.
Of the love journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. And we're going to get started with another version of Summer Madness by Richard Elliott Family. I heard this song and, it just touched my soul. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine in England. That was Richard Elliott, Summer Madness, right here on The Love Journey. We're going to get ready and turn it in, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that one power and that one presence, that great spirit, that is known by many, many, many names. We recognize it as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. So as we center our mind this morning, centering our mind, centering our thoughts, becoming very intentional about the breath, because there is power in the breath, family. And so today I want you to breathe. Sometimes we forget to breathe. I want you to take in that deep breath, breathing deep into the diaphragm, breathing in through the nose. Hold it to the point of vibration and hold it to the count of eight. And remember to breathe deep into the diaphragm and deep into the heart, and then release the breath. Today, family, I want you to breathe together. Be still and know that I am God. Just breathe, family. And release. Let's breathe, family. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And as we invite the divine feminine presence, giving thanks for the divine mother, the cosmic mother, Mother Earth, and Mother Nature, and all the ancestral mothers, the greats, the grands, and to our mothers, we just give thanks for all that the mother energy represents. We thank you, God.
Day 4, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today, I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter whom you love and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego, that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee, I let it be, and so it is. Today I forgive my mother.
I don't know what to do. I don't know my love. Then I'll never know how long to you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You tuned in to the Love Journey, your love experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Donald Lawrence. Speak to my heart, oh Lord. Speak to my heart, oh Lord. Oh, yes. Good morning, family. I trust that you had a phenomenal weekend celebrating the feminine presence, the mother energy, the great cosmic mother, the Mother Earth, Mother Nature, and all of our mothers, grandmothers, and great-grandmothers. We just give thanks for your presence, your physical presence, your spiritual presence, our ancestral presence. We just give thanks for that. I know that you had a good weekend, family. We're going to get started by listening to a little clip from Tyler Perry talking about the points of lights. And then we're going to talk about the healing power of love today, family. Yes. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey.
How's everybody? Sit down. I only have 8 minutes. To Neil Bush and Tracy Hoover, I just want to say thank you to all of the points of light. I'm honored to be here, and thank you so much. You know, as I started thinking about points of light and what this event represents, I started thinking about all the people in my life who were just that. People who let their light so shine before me in some of my darkest times. I grew up in New Orleans. My mother worked as a daycare assistant at the Jewish Community Center. The man that I was told was my father was a carpenter and a functional alcoholic. He was abusive to my mother and I. So needless to say, for most of my younger years, I was angry. And by the time I entered into adolescence, I was furious. God knew I needed points of light. So he gave me a praying mother. Not more than a baby herself, when she married this man, she tried her best to protect me from him. But with no life skills of her own, she did what she knew how to do. But oh, how she loved me. Friday was payday for him, so he would come home happy. But that was short-lived. He would go out and return a few hours later drunk and angry, yelling and fighting her. And as I watched in horror, God knew that this little boy needed points of light. This happened every Friday and every Saturday night, but come Sunday morning, my mother would come in the room and wake me up, shake me in my chest and say, come on, baby, let's go to church. When we get there, I would see my mother up in the choir singing, happy, rocking, talking about, thank you, Jesus. I remember being a little boy wanting to know this God, this Jesus, that made my mother so happy. She said, baby, I'm going to teach you how to be a Christian, the real one. You know, the ones with flaws that make mistakes, the ones that God himself used in the Bible, that kind, not these perfect pretending holy rollers, she called them, you know. She taught me that God loved me, and oh, what a point of light he has been for me. Now, I'm sorry, I know it's not politically correct to talk about God and faith these days, but oh well, they gave me a microphone. Thank you for allowing me to be myself. It was my mother teaching me about God and faith that allowed me to forgive my father and also to be able to understand them both. Now that I'm older, I realize that my parents had no examples. They were two wounded children trying to raise a wounded child. Years later, I would enter into show business not knowing that I was carrying a desire to share what I had learned and witnessed growing up, not knowing that the very people that had made me laugh and made me cry and made me happy, made me sad, and literally had made me were showing up in my work, their lives, their stories, their hopes, their dreams, their despair were all on display in my films and my storytelling. I only wanted to bring laughter and light now because I had seen so much darkness growing up. I was writing about things that were raw and guttural, my own experiences, so much so that it made the critics uncomfortable. It was crass and abrasive to the trained eye, offensive, they called it. But while they were writing their reviews, I was receiving emails and likes on Facebook by the millions from people all around the world who got it. Like the letter I got from a woman who said, my sister saw Diary of a Mad Black Woman, and you did in 2 hours what my family has been trying to do for 12 years. She's leaving an abusive relationship. Yeah. It was a point of light. Or the letter that I got from a mother of a little boy in Houston who has autism, and she was telling me that it's my shows that keep him calm enough to go to sleep in the evening. A point of light. Or the single mother who sent me an email saying that she had had it and she was going to commit suicide. She rented a hotel room. She wanted to spend the last day with her kids. So she brought him to this hotel and she said, anything you guys want to do, you let me know. One of them said, I want to watch one of Tyler Perry's plays. So they watched the show. And after they watched it, she was no longer depressed. She found herself laughing and happy and joyous. And she no longer wanted to commit suicide. That's a point of light. It feels great to be able to lift people on this level, but you also have the power to lift people even if you don't have this platform. As I look back over my life, there were many people that had a hand in shining light into my darkness when I was growing up, like Mr. Johnson, who lived next door to me. He told me that I was special. He bought me my first pair of nice dress shoes. They were wing-tipped leather, hand-stitched, and I hated those jokers. I wanted some Chuck Taylor All-Stars, but he was a point of light. And then there was my Aunt Jerry, who was the polar opposite of my mother when it came to men. This woman would shoot first and ask questions never. She taught me how to stand up for myself. She was a point of light with a good aim. And then there was Mr. Butler. Let me tell you how I met Mr. Butler. I had just started junior high school, and in order for me to get to high school, I had to walk through the drug dealers, literally step over the whores and the drug addicts, walk through a graveyard, then in the next block past gang members, and then go through the projects, and then come to a six-lane intersection, and it was always busy, but just beyond that was the school. Well, one day as I'm approaching this intersection, I hear this voice saying, "Will someone help me cross?" He was in a suit. He had a cooler in a hand and a folded lawn chair in one hand and his cane in the other. "Will someone help me cross?" he said. People kept ignoring him, walking past him with their busy lives. We were poor, but we were busy. I don't know why poor people are so busy. I said, "I'll help you," in my 13-year-old changing voice. He said, "Well, thank you, son. May I have your shoulder?" I wish I had time to talk about giving your shoulder to somebody. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Don't trick me now." I said, "No, sir, I won't." We crossed the street. I asked him where he was going. He told me that he was going to my school to sell praline candy to the kids. So I helped him to the school, and he said thank you, and he told me that God would bless me for my kindness. He and I became friends. We took that walk every day. I came out of school one afternoon, and there he was sitting outside in that lawn chair selling praline candies, 25 cents. And I saw one of the kids try to buy candy, right? And they gave Mr. Butler a dollar, and they told him it was a $5 bill. I stepped in, and I said, "Mr. Butler, this is a scam." Needless to say, I had a lot of enemies at that school. But it didn't matter. I was glad to do it. You see, Mr. Butler was one of the first men in my life to see me. And what made it all the more special is that he was blind. He was a point of light. One morning I was late meeting him, and as I walked up to the intersection, I could see Mr. Butler standing there, not saying a word. So I tipped up behind him, and I said, "I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to wait to see what happens." He said, "I know you're there, son." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." I said, "I didn't hear you saying, 'Will someone help me cross?'" He said, "No, I was listening for you." I said, "You were?" He said, "Yes. Sometimes in life, son, when you pray and you've said all you can say, all you have to do is stand and wait and listen." What a point of light he was. There are many people in this world that are wanting, waiting, saying, asking, begging, hoping, "Will someone help me cross?" We all have the power to be a point of light. Thank you. God bless you. Appreciate it so much.
You tuned in to the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine in England. And that was Tyler Perry called The Point of Light. You know, sometimes I think about God's glory and his grace and mercy, because we all can be a point of light to somebody. Sometimes with just a smile. Sometimes picking up the phone and saying, I was thinking about you. Even with the words, I love you, and I was thinking about the healing power of prayer. I was thinking about the power of God and the presence of God and how God is always with us. God is alive and always with us, right now in us and in you right now. That God even speaks when we take time to listen. Elijah taught us the lesson well. He loved and worshiped the Lord with all his might, but he had to learn to make contact, and it took 40 days and nights away from the world in quietness for him to understand the true nature of the God to whom he prayed. He found that God was not in the earthquake, not in the wind, not in the fire, but within his personal, still, small voice. To our brother Jesus, God was within, who did all the work that was needed to be done and spoke all the words needed to be spoken. God was the very essence of who he was. And Jesus was not ashamed to claim his oneness and sameness with God. You see, he acknowledged the presence and power of God in everything he did. Sometimes people talk about God as if he's somewhere out there, and approach God like they're making a long-distance telephone call. Like God is not a big man up in a place somewhere out there. God is everywhere, evenly present. God is all power over all things. God is personal to each one of us, available to us as quickly as we can turn within. When we learn not to limit God, we will learn not to limit ourselves. You see, Charles Fillmore, in one of his books, said it this way: the God to whom we pray is spirit, evenly present everywhere. We cannot go where God is not. Let me say that again. We cannot go where God is not, because there is no spot where God is not. You cannot flee from God's presence. If you dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, God is there. In the Daily Inspiration for Better Living, this is what it said: I will be where you are. Come on, God. Go forward unafraid. I have always walked with you. I have always talked with you, and this new experience will be no different. Do not judge it by what it appears to be, but by what you know to be true about me and about yourself. Wherever you go, whomever you meet, whatever you have to face, God says, I am there. I am it. You bring your knowledge of God to the experience. God said, you bring your knowledge of me to this experience. Be what I've taught you to be: proud, confident, optimistic, open, and receptive, because I was with you before and I am with you now. I will always be where you are. Don't forget it, and do what you know. Act what you know. I will be there with you. Train your eyes to see me and your ears to hear me. I am in the crowd. I am in the wind. I am in the sunset. I am even in the moonlight. I am wherever you are. And sometimes I reread that to remind myself, no matter what situation I am in, to bring my knowledge of my God presence with me, to bring my knowledge of who God is in my life with me, and not let whatever the seemingly a presence to bring me into a place of fear. And here's some tips and guidelines You see, it's about getting a pattern of prayer established as a part of our daily spiritual routine. Establish a part of our spiritual life where we're taking time out. It's important that we build our spiritual muscles. Call forth that spiritual presence each and every morning before we start our day, because how we start our day is how we live our day. Call forth that miracle work and power of the presence of God in your life. It's so important for us to first be still. What am I saying? Learn to be quiet and turn your whole being, your whole mental, spiritual, and physical away from anything that may have concern you or distress you. Learn how to quiet yourself before entering into any prayer and meditation time so that you can be completely open and receptive to guidance from within. I say cleanse your mind. Be still. No. Mary Tompkins said, ask and release yourself from all thoughts and unforgiveness before you enter into a prayer. But be still. There's power in the prayer. There's power in the asking. Be willing. You know that God's will for you is only absolute good. This is the nature of the Creator. This is the nature of God. It's the only thing He has to give you. Let God's will be done in your life, starting right now. Be willing. Come on, Holy Spirit. Be willing to do your part and put aside your personal concerns for the good of all concerned. Have a willing nature to do God's will, to let God's will be done through you. Let that will be done. What is God's will for you? What is the divine trying to express through you right now? Be thoughtful. What is God? Who is God? Who are you in relation to God? Ponder the very essence of God and His wonderful creation. I'm talking about you. You are God's wonderful creation. Every good and wonderful description you can think of in relation to God also applies to you, because you are what God is. Let me say that again. You are what God is. You are what God is. You are all that God is. Be your authentic, true self. Your good is already here. Behave as if this was true, because it is, in thought, in word, and out of action. Behave as if you were already recognizing that you are all that God is, already manifesting the perfection that is the truth about you. Perfect health, perfect prosperity, perfect happiness, perfection in all the areas of your life. Always be prepared. Recognizing your oneness with the Creator, the perfect, extremely generous Creator, our divine Mother, Father, God, exactly what kind of life do you desire? Are you picturing yourself with the kind of car you want to drive, the kind of business you want? Are you seeing it in your mind's eye, in the coming attraction? Be prepared. See it in details. See it until you can taste it, touch it, and do it often. See your life. See it. My grandmother used to always tell us, you got to see your way through it. And I didn't really get the meaning of that. But we got to learn how to see in our mind's eye. Tell you. I cannot tell you how gratitude is the most powerful exponential acceleration. If you want to accelerate your prayers, accelerate your asking, be thankful.
Oh, there's nothing like a grateful heart. You have become still. You have listened within. You know who and what you are. And you know that you deserve to receive all the good that God has in store for you. You know it is His will for you to release and to give thanks in advance for all that you have received. Just give thanks. And when I've done my part, sown my right seeds, then I will reap the benefits I have a right to. I have a right to it, and I intend to have it. Because I've sown my seed, and I'm now reaping all the good things that I've sown. Nobody can stop me because I know who and what I am. I am a rich child of the Most High. I am a perfect whole and complete. I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete. I am health. I am that I am, God. I love what Reverend Ike said. I am the prosperity consciousness of God. And sometimes when we get in situations and we don't ask the right empowerment questions because we get caught up in the why. Why, God? Why me, God? Instead of saying, what is it for me to learn in this situation? And so I want to remind you that it's about the ask, the empowering questions. Those empowering questions. What is the divine trying to express through you? What is God trying to express through us that we're not getting the answers to? Because our questions are not empowering. Here's Michael Beckwith with the empowering question. I want you to remind you, it's important that we remember it. It's about the empowering question.
Many people ask this empowering questions. What's wrong? Who's to blame? Why me? Those questions keep us on a downward spiral of picking up on the database of human consciousness and all of its woes and complaints and fears and doubts and worries that move through the mind of the human experience. The real life visioning process is based upon asking questions that are empowering, that empower us. What's trying to emerge in my life? What gift do I have to give? How much power can flow through me? This is how it works. Behind every problem that we have, there's a question trying to ask itself. Behind every question, there's an answer trying to be revealed. Behind every answer, there's an action trying to be taken. And behind every action is a way of life trying to be born. So if you're perennially stuck in disempowering questions, your perception becomes very small, you become reactionary, and the actions that you take are just busyness. Survival busyness has nothing to do with embracing a large goal or a great vision for your life. So we ask, and I implore you to ask powerful questions. We want to ask questions. What gift am I to give to the world? What is trying to emerge in my life? You could even ask, what is my next step to take in the downloading, the articulation, and the living of my vision? Now here's the deal. As you begin to ask empowering questions, you begin to activate the soul faculty of hearing. One of the arts that have been lost in our world is the art of listening. Individuals fail to listen and they fail to comprehend. Listening is a lost art. You want to bring listening back in your spiritual practice. So in life visioning, as we begin to feel that we're surrounded by a universal presence of divine love, we begin to ask the question, what is the vision for my life? What is the universe seeking to express through me? What is the idea that the universe is trying to make as my life? What's trying to emerge? And then we have a moment of pure listening. Without judgment or censorship, we just begin to listen. And that which is called the still, small voice, we begin to understand it after a while becomes the only voice. The chatter in the mind, we no longer hear that. We begin to hear what's trying to emerge. I want you to begin to practice for a moment. I want you to begin, even with your eyes open, first with your eyes open, begin to feel that you're surrounded by an atmosphere of love. The universe is for you, there's nothing against you. Begin to think about times in your life where someone really supported you and loved you. They got you, they understood you. They weren't trying to get anything from you, they just loved you. I want you to feel into that. And I want you to understand that that is just a small figment of how the universe loves you. Just a little bit. But feel into that love right now. Now close your eyes. And feel that you're in a safe environment and you are truly loved. With every breath you take, that feeling of being loved is being amplified. Remember, you're on purpose. You are an on purpose with a purpose to reflect and to reveal the cosmos in a way that has never quite happened before. Now ask this question. What idea is the universe trying to express through me? What is seeking to emerge in my life? What is the universe up to as my life? Now listen with that inner ear. What is the universe up to is your life? Not what society wants you to do, not what your parents want you to do, not what your college system wants you to do, not what your religion wants you to do. What does God have in store for you? What does the universal presence have in store for you? Listen. See with the inner eye. Feel with your heart. Allow it to articulate itself to you. This is a vision. It's not in the future. It's in you right now, even though it will take time to manifest and become visible. It's speaking to you right now. What is the universe up to as my life? We're going to do one more question. Of course, in the entire life visioning process, there's five questions and contemplations we go through, but we're going to go through two of them right now. The next one is, what must I become to manifest the vision that I am beginning to see? Coming is our growing edge. Where must I grow? Where must I unfold? What habits must change? What thought patterns must dissolve? What must I become? Listen. Ear. With the ear, beyond ear. There is a master vision for your life. You are loaded and coded with it. It does not come from external sources. It's within you. You are now participating in your own unfolding by asking empowering questions and listening. And ultimately, saying yes. When you say yes, speak the dynamic yes, the divine yes, the universal presence has an access point to express through. The presence can only do for you what it can do through you. It can't do for you what it can't do through you. You're giving permission with the yes and with the right questions. Say yes. Say yes to your greatness. Say yes to the elegance. Say yes to the beauty. Say yes to the permanent prosperity. Say yes to capital S success. Say yes to life. You don't have to pray to God. God is praying that you let God through your sacred yes. Are you willing?
Are you willing to allow the divine to express and manifest itself through you? You see, one of the most powerful things we can do is be still. Let me say that again. One of the most powerful things we can do is be still and hear what it is that the universe is trying to express to us. So many times we move around and we move around when we get in that situation trying to fix it and run through haste instead of just getting still to hear the divine. What is the divine trying to express to me in this right now situation? What is the idea that God is trying to manifest through me? You see, you are an perfect expression of the divine presence. And our job is to get out of our own way and then allow the divine to move and have his way. You are the perfect expression, and it's so amazing to know that God don't call to qualify, he qualifies the call. What does that mean? That means God really just want to use somebody who's willing to be used. It doesn't matter if you go to church every Sunday, read the Bible or not. God is looking for a willing participant to get out their way so that God can express God's self through you. And so many of us get caught up in what we think God is and get caught up in a box that God can't use us. Today, release and relinquish all that you know and say, God, I surrender. I simply surrender to the knowing that God is all there is. Simply surrender. Simply surrender. Sometimes we wonder, what are we surrendering to? We're surrendering to the presence and the all-knowing power that exists in us. I love what Michael Beckwith said. You ain't got to pray no more about it. God is praying for you. What that really means is God is praying for you to say yes. God is praying for you to come to your oneness and align yourself with the will of God. God is waiting on you for your sacred yes. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes. Yes, Holy Spirit. Yes. You are the gift. You are the magic. And you hold the key. All that is Nobody can do what you've been called to do. Nobody can do what you've been called to do on this planet. Nobody can do what you've been called to do because nobody can do it the way you can do it. Nobody can do what you've been called to do because you do it the way you've been doing it, and that's because of your unique aspect. You can do without me. And so as I close on this wonderful prayer, reminding you of all the times that God has brought you through, reminding you that God has already prepared a place for you, and it contains all the good. Nothing but goodness. God has already prepared that place for you. And so as we enter into that space right now, where we remember all the times that God has came through, even when we didn't know how. And I want you to just remember the time. Sometimes it seems more easier to call your girlfriend up or call your friend up than it is to just go within. Sometimes it seems easier to complain than it is to go within. And I want you to right now, whatever is holding you or having you concerned, release it right now and let it go. I want you to go into the consciousness of your mind and touch the hem of God's garment. The garment of prosperity, garment of health. Reminding you, prosperity is not just about money, but prosperity holds the key to peace and happiness. Your prosperity might be health. Your prosperity might be money sustenance. Your prosperity might be a peace of mind. Your prosperity might be a concerns about those that are very dear and close to you. Or to bring comfort, happiness, and love. I want you to take time to silently whisper to yourself the names or the form of prosperity that you desire right now. Just silently speak the name of the prosperity you desire. And if it's someone that you, that may be a concern, then simply call out their name. Simply bring them into the vibrations by simply calling their name. If it's a city or a nation, speak the name in that vibration. And know that God is evenly present in wherever those people that you're calling out, or nations or city or situations, wherever they are, we are, God is. See, this is your appointment with God. Make it personal. Make it personal. And do it any way you want to do it. Just touch. Make the contact with that presence. As you touch it, know that you will receive. You will receive prosperity in any form that you desire at this time. I want you to know that it's not outside of you. As you go deep as you can possibly go within and yourself and deeper and deeper and deeper, know that just God. There's nothing else. It's just God, the omnipotent, omniscient, and ever-present God everywhere. In Psalm 78, we read, the people of Ephraim refused to follow God's way. The people of Ephraim forgot about the wonderful miracles God had done for them. And many of us just refuse to follow God's way because it may seem too simple. We keep looking for something difficult and complex for God. But I don't think there is a spiritual being anywhere who does not know of a miracle that has happened at some time in their life, in their body or affairs, since we've been on this earth.
I know miracles have happened for me. What about you? So I want you to just take just a moment to remember the miracle. Come, Holy Spirit. Just remember the past times when miracles had happened to you, through you, and I just want you to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. If you ever had a miracle in your world, your body, your life, in your home, just say, thank you, God. Ooh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Sometimes we forget about the miracles. But that same God that brought us through is the same God that can bring us through today. I'm telling you right now, if you forget about any miracles that happened in your life, let's talk about the stories from former generations. Remember when God divided the sea before them and led them through. It's the same God today. You may be facing a seemingly red sea right now. Touch the hem of God's garment, and God will roll the waters of turbulence to each side and make a road so dry. And then extend the invitation and say, come, walk through. Walk through. Come, God. Come, Holy Spirit. In the daytime, he led them by a cloud, and at the night, by the pillar of fire. I want you to look within the direction, your daytime, your nighttime, wherever you are. Know that God is, I am. Wherever you are, I am. Lit up in the rock in the wilderness to give them plenty of water. Some of us are awful thirsty, Lord. And we hear you extending to us the invitation. If you drink of this living water, you are never thirsty again. Come on, Holy Spirit. He commanded the skies to open, then he opened the windows of heaven, and then he rained down manna from the sky. Jesus ascended, moved into another level of consciousness, but Jesus said he would send a comforter. He would send the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the healer. See, that is right here with us all the time, as of to minister to us in any way that we need it. Come on, Holy Spirit. Speak to my mind. Come on, Holy Spirit. Speak to our heart. Come on, Holy Spirit, and speak to every cell, every molecule, every atom, and every living system in our being. Come, Holy Spirit, and remove in us any doubt, any lack, anything that is causing us to not to live the expression of you in our wholeness today, God. Come and remove it right now, God. Come, teacher, comforter, wonderful presence, and let us feel you individually as we touch the presence of you in our consciousness, God. Let it fill our homes right now, God. Let it be spirit-filled in our homes right now, God. Let us be spirit-filled in every cell, God. Let it stir up the gifts, God. Activate something deep within us, oh, God, that we may be a God agent change on this planet, God. That we will shake up every doubt, God. Stir up something deep in our soul, that we will come forth, God, and activate the presence of you in us right now, God. That we will operate in the true essence of what you called us to the planet to become, Holy Spirit. And let this presence fill us right now as we invoke your presence in our life. Feed us, oh Lord, right here, right now. Feed our minds right here, right now, God. Speak to our hearts right here, right now, God. And speak to our soul. And let our soul unfold the goals that you so eloquently planted and downloaded into us. Let us get into new realms of authority right now, God. Let us get into new realms of thoughts right now, God. Let us get into new realms of understanding and opulence and glory, God, that we may live in the opulent life, God. Come, Holy Spirit, and let it be done right now, God. Let it be done in the name and nature of who you are in us right now, God. As you feed our minds right now, God. As you feed our hearts, God. In the name and through the power of your Son, God, in the power and in the name of the consciousness and in the nature and in the love of who we are, we say thank you, God, that it is done as we call forth all that is great within us, as we call forth the champion in us today, God. I thank you. And so it is. And so it is. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And today,
as I remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember, family, to choose love. Family, choose love. Love is a choice. It's the only choice. Family, I want to remind you today to dream and to live your God-sized dream. God is waiting on you to just say yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, Holy Spirit. God is waiting. God is waiting on you. Just to say yes. Will you say yes today to God?
Say yes. There is more that I require of thee. Will your heart and soul say yes? Now will your heart and soul say yes? Will your spirit still say yes? Yes. If I told you what I really says yes, Jesus. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. My soul says yes. He's saying there's more that I require of thee. There is more that I require of thee. He's calling you higher. There is more that I require of thee. He said, don't be afraid of men and their faces. Don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. He said, I'm calling you out of your dry place. I'm calling you out of your dry place. Say it. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. Come on up a little higher. 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 I'm calling you. I predestined you before the world began to do my will. To do my
gonna tell God yes. Make it personal. Your worship means nothing without a yes. Without obedience, it means nothing. But if you're really gonna tell God yes, come on. Make it personal. Lift your hand. Tell the Lord yes. Soul says yes. I'll do what you want me to do, Jesus. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it, Jesus. I might have to give up some relationships, but my soul says yes. I might have to give up some things that I hold dear to me, but my soul says yes. You mean everything to me, Jesus. You're the first and foremost in my life.
My soul says yes.
So let your heart and soul